Well, have you ever been driving and you just knew, you feel as if there are eyes behind you watching you from the back seat of the car? That's eerie. I don't know what that is. Darren Owens with us. Mysteries of the Supernatural. Your calls next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast. Darren Owens with us. Your calls as well. Darren, with everything you've done in this career of yours, what has been for you the most satisfying?
The healing work. Absolutely, hands down. The sense of watching people change, watching people begin to see their life differently and sustaining that, seeing their own power again, seeing that they're actually powerful beings, they're not victims in this world. That's it. Because that was the biggest inspiration in my life when I began to realize that for myself. Growing up in Arkansas in a little town and being psychic and intuitive and feeling all of these energies and seeing all of these energies, and it begins to be overwhelming to a little kid. And then through my own spiritual journey and asking my own questions and doing my own search, realizing that I was connected to something a lot more powerful and much more nurturing, and getting rid of the victim consciousness. Because that's really what gets us in trouble most all the time, really, is beginning to feel like we're victims in this world and not realizing how powerful we are if we just begin to open our minds to that and make our decisions based on that and choices based on a higher level of perception. So that has to be it.
Well, that's pretty good stuff, I think. When you deal with that and, you know, you have that special feeling within and you know you're helping somebody advance, whether spiritually or through healing, that's got to be a great feeling for you, Darren.
It is a great feeling because we're all connected. So therefore, if someone's healing themselves, there's on some level I'm receiving healing because that's how connected we are. When I'm doing workshops and one person asks a question, they're really asking for everybody else in the audience.
Okay, let's go to some of the calls for you. Let's go to Robert, first of all, in Oklahoma City on the wild card line. Hello, Robert. You're on with us.
Hi. Yeah, hey. I kind of decided to change my question a little bit here. Sure. Do you do a healing over the phone?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, distant healing is what I do quite often unless I'm doing workshops and I can do hands-on healing. Everyone at my workshops, it's like a big old healing ceremony at the end. But yeah, everything that I do is long distance, unless I'm doing it in person at my events.
Energy
knows no boundaries, you see. So that's how people on a prayer list receive healing from people 1,000 miles away they don't even know.
People want to get a hold of you. Do you want to give out an email or simply the website?
Sure. My website's DarrenOwensOfficial.com. That's Darren, D-A-R-R-I-N, OwensOfficial.com. And my email is flowofdivinelove@gmail.com.
You better spell that out, Darren.
Flow, F-L-O-W, of, O-F, divine, D-I-V-I-N-E, love, L-O-V-E, @gmail.com. flowofdivinelove@gmail.com.
We didn't talk a lot about energetics of possession. Tell me about that.
Energetics of possession is, We have an understanding of the energy anatomy, the 7 chakra centers or the 7 vortexes of energy that align vertically up and down the spinal column. And it's our subtle anatomy. We have a physical anatomy, and this would be our subtle or spiritual anatomy. And when I do readings on people, this is what I read, because your energy anatomy is like a big database that I begin to receive information about your life, about causes of dis-ease or causes of emotional, mental problems. Everything is recorded in this database. So the energetics of possession with a spirit attachment, let's say, to somebody, I begin to see a separate energy that's hovering around the aura of my client. So it would be above the shoulders and above the head. So this would be a spirit attachment. And it's a separate energy. It's a darker, denser energy. Our energy anatomy usually is very colorful. It's very light and vibrant, depending on our mood. And this would be a separate energy, and it's dense and it's dark, and it has an intelligence all its own. So therefore, when someone begins to have thoughts or feelings, or suddenly they become addicted to coffee and they've never drunk coffee in their life and they can't figure out what's really going on with this, well, that would be this spirit attachment. It begins to filter in energetically its personality into the energy of that person. If you're dealing with a demonic possession, and we talked a little bit about this before, the energetics of possession for demonic energies, they begin to seep in like this very dark, syrupy black energy begins to seep in through the bottom at the very base of the spine of the energy anatomy, the root chakra, because it wants to destroy your foundation. And so all of this is happening energetically. So in perspective, possession happens within the energy field, not the actual body. So that's how possession happens, and the energetics of it is through the energy field and through the manipulation and the, let's say, taking over effect of the energy anatomy within a client that I'm working with. So we think that our bodies are possessed, but it's actually not the physical body. The physical body gets affected eventually, but it's actually the energy, our auric system, that is being interfered with.
How does somebody get possessed there, and what happens? Are they drunk or what?
It can be something as little as going to the doctor's office and not being in a very good, being ill. Your energy's low. You're not focused. You're not with it. It's as easy as that, as something attaching to you and going home with you. Illness can be a cause of that sometimes. Alcohol, drugs especially. I had a dear friend. And he was addicted to cocaine, and he was covered. And I would do some work on him and clear him up. He'd feel really good, but he wasn't dealing with the addiction, you see. And so, therefore, it would just happen again. So addictions can be open doors for that. The biggest culprit is being naive about the spirit world. Again, we talked about this before, playing with Ouija boards, not really knowing what you're doing, opening up doors that you have no idea what's going to come through, dealing with negative dark magic or occult, dark occult practices, and opening doors that way. You just have to be smart. Have a strong sense of your spirituality and know that if you go into a graveyard, have some respect. Don't go in there with beer and a Ouija board. You're going to get in trouble.
I guess a lot of people, though, when they go into these graveyards with Ouija boards, really don't understand what they're doing, do they?
They don't. They look at it as entertainment. And so when you look at, for example, I always say I don't do psychic readings and I don't do energy healing for entertainment purposes only. This is serious. So I weed out the people that want the sort of fortune-telling stuff because this is serious work. But when with the dead, you must have great respect. That's why I believe in connecting with our ancestors in our life. If you want to connect with people on the other side, start with your ancestors because they are connected to you through that family energy. They are connected to you on a higher plane of existence as far as being your guardians and being your protectors. If you look at ancient civilizations and Native American civilizations, ancestors were priority. That's how you connect with those on the other side first. Have a strong foundation with that. But when you go off opening doors into the spirit world and not really knowing what you're doing, there are a lot of things that would enjoy coming in and having fun with you.
What do you think of mediums?
I believe that mediumship, the true meaning of mediumship, being able to be a medium between different realms and different worlds is absolutely essential. We all have that ability to some degree. The commercialization and the pop culture aspect of what a medium is now is something that I think is a tragedy to the true work of mediumship, connecting with spiritual energies and entities for the purpose of healing. Yes, we watch these televisions and people are they're crying, they're connecting with someone, and that's all well and good, but that's not what it's all about. I think sometimes, like, leave the dead alone. Start paying attention to your spirit, not theirs. You're the one that needs help. They're fine. They've crossed over. They're enjoying. They're going off to other destinies, and we can get addicted to connecting to the other side. So mediumship in itself can be an addiction if we allow it to be. we have to remember that it's the ability to maneuver consciously between realms. And if the time comes and we have a mediumistic situation and we connect to someone, great. Hopefully it's for the purpose of connecting and healing something or helping a lost soul cross over. That's my work as a medium. Is purely to help lost souls cross over, healing on this side and the other side, but not sitting there and seeing if Dead Aunt Edna has buried the will somewhere. That's just not how it works for me. It doesn't need to be a circus show.
No, but it is sometimes, isn't it?
It is too much of the time, unfortunately. And so when someone gets a reading with someone and they don't act like these people on a reality show, they get upset. They don't know the real, true focus of what mediumship should be. It's sad. So that's another thing I think my job is to help people realize what psychic means, for example, is of the soul. So if we're all souls, we all have psychic potential. It's an outpouring of our spiritual growth. It's not a fortune-telling circus show here, you know, before you go in to see the big show. That's not what that is.
Let's go to Jeff in Culver City, California. Jeffrey, take it away.
Yeah, how you doing, George and Mr. Owens?
Hey.
Yes, when it comes to supernatural activities, I've always been interested with the various levels and degrees of this very strange and unusual enterprise, especially as it pertains to the energetic aspects of the phenomenon. And by this I mean energies emanating from the sun, the moon, atmospheric lightning, as well as man-made energetic sources such as electricity, fossil fuel energies, and nuclear energies. My question is this, Mr. Owen. Do you believe that it's possible for gifted individuals who have been, quote-unquote, chosen to have these supernatural abilities to somehow access and harness various forms of these energies to utilize it for their own personal use, whether good or bad? And I'll take your answer off the air.
Oh, yeah. If you've mastered your ability enough to connect to different energies and use them and manipulate them and direct them and focus them, if you've gained that kind of mastery, absolutely. I mean, the ancients used to do that, harnessing the powers of the sun and the powers of the four elements and that kind of ritual magic from many eons ago was an absolute reality. We go back to the theories of Atlantis using crystal and focusing energy through that. Absolutely. Of course, you know, if your ego gets involved, you end up blowing yourself up because you have to realize that with that kind of power, there is great responsibility. Don't mean to sound like Spider-Man there, but that's absolutely true. So I always try to focus on the innate spiritual energy to work with because I know I won't be able to fall off the horse if I stay focused on the source.
When you deal with the spirit side, do you pick up some prophetic things from them in terms of what could be going on in the future?
At times that does come in. I, you know, with every reading that I do or if it's something that I'm just getting a vision of, you know, prophecy is never the intent, but sometimes it does happen. We do tap into that universal knowledge, that universal database that there is something about to occur, and we get that information so we can either prepare for it or help to derail it if we can. I think that's why the prophecies of Nostradamus and Edgar Cayce were so important for us, to that universal prophecy to understand what could potentially be happening in our future because, you know, the future is subjective. So, yeah, it's definitely a reality.
We have Chris in Dayton, Ohio now. Go ahead, Chris. Thank you for calling.
Yes, Mr. Owens, it's nice to talk to you.
Hey,
nice to talk to someone who understands some of what I've experienced.
Oh, good.
A friend and I went to Sedona quite a few years back.
Okay.
In fact, Princess Di died at the time we were in Sedona, Arizona. We went by car, and because we were trying to shoestring it. And we had a couple interesting experiences at Three Rivers Hieroglyphs. We stayed in the National Forest, but I was going to ask about one. She hears and I see. We were following spirit's guidance where to go. Anyway, we got as far as Flagstaff, Arizona. It was getting dark, so we decided to stay at a hotel that night instead of camping. And we got this nice big room, and all of a sudden she wakes me up and asks me if my eyes are open. I said, well, no. And she says, and remember, she normally doesn't see. And she says, well, look up between our beds and tell me what you see. And I look, and I'm like, well, I've made myself open my eyes. At first I thought, oh, God, do I really want to open my eyes? But I did. And there was this big, huge golden eye. It was kind of like flames shooting out around it. Do you have any idea what the heck we saw? She saw the same thing I saw, too. I asked her, I said, this is what I'm seeing. Is that what you're seeing?
I'll tell you, my first thought was an interdimensional being, because that Sedona, I used to live in Flagstaff, so I went to Sedona quite often.
Okay.
And that entire area is open vortexes between interdimensional beings. You've got ET, extraterrestrial energies, interdimensional beings. You've got
ancestral. Oh, yeah, I had stars dancing in the sky on top of the Lincoln National Forest. It was really neat. They'd go down, jump up and around.
Mm-hmm.
It was really wild.
Yeah, interdimensional inhabitants, because Sedona's full of that kind of activity. It was kind of exciting. I used to go every weekend just to sort of connect with the different energies. There were energies I've never felt before. I didn't even know.
Oh, yeah, in front of bell tower. Our last day we were sitting meditating, and I didn't close my eyes yet. I was looking around. Mm-hmm. My head came back to the front of the Bell Rock Tower, and all of a sudden I saw this huge pink magenta cloud, huge thing, with beautiful, brilliant white diamond lights type just sparkling through it.
Oh, yeah.
I banged her arm. I said, open your eyes. She said, wow. I said, what did you see? She saw, once again, we both saw the exact same thing.
Well, here's something to remember, too, because sometimes it's not always an entity outside of ourselves. Sometimes we are, because, again, you have to remember, you're in the energy of Sedona, which is going to automatically begin transforming your own spiritual energy. So a lot of these visions that people receive are archetypal patterns. Things that are happening within their unconscious. So you have to ask yourself, too, this image, what is this image? What does it mean to me? How did I feel when I see this image? For example, if it's an all-seeing eye, then that means, okay, obviously I'm waking up. You know, look at things symbolically as well, because sometimes it's not always going to be a being outside of ourselves. It could be an archetypal vision for us to see on some level that we are waking up, because the soul talks and symbols. That's why dreams are so important. But when you're in Sedona, there's so many levels of awakening, because you can be waking up spiritually, but also be waking up to the fact that there are interdimensional beings that you're also seeing. It's a very active place.
It sure is. Give us your email again.
Flow, F-L-O-W, of, O-F, divine, D-I-V-I-N-E, love, at gmail.com. Flow of divine love at gmail.com.
A long email, but easy once you get into it.
Great. Oh, that's great. I get a lot of I love reading emails from people, because it's seeing these experiences and just what I think sometimes seems to be a little whacked out and out there. People have had these experiences. They call me or email me, and they're emotional about it because they didn't think anyone else was talking about this type of stuff.
How long you been at this?
Oh, geez. I think we're at the 20-year mark now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Enjoy every day?
I do. And I'm almost, I'll be 40 in a year or so, and I'm actually happier now than I ever was. I've been doing this work for years and years, and I went public with it in 2006 with my book Reader of Hearts, and that was a very interesting time, is when you become very visible and the celebrity hits you, because I'm a teacher, I'm a healer, and suddenly now this celebrity thing is hit me, this image, and I had a very hard conflict with that. I wasn't able to really deal with people looking at me as this guru. And so I did it for a while, and I took some time off, about 3 years off from that, because you really have to have a strong foundation on this path.
All right, we're going to come back in a moment with Darren Owens and wrap things up with final phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, of course, it's Friday night into Saturday morning, and that means those open lines with just you. And we're going to come back in a moment with Darren Owens, as we talk about his work, of course, in the supernatural, mysteries of the supernatural, and we'll take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Darren Owens with us. Darren, should people be afraid of the other side?
No, absolutely not. We pass through it. There's absolutely nothing to be afraid of with the other side. What we're afraid of is the unknown. We really don't know. We really have no clear idea. We have our impressions, our intuitions, and our beliefs that actually filter into what the other side is. But No, we don't. I think if we removed ourselves from thinking that we are separate from the supernatural, that we're separate from our spiritual selves, when we realize we're not separate from any of that, the other side just becomes part of life. And it's like asking your pet, are you going to be afraid of the other side? No. Your animal knows exactly when it's time to go, it's time to go. Animals are on this life cycle, and they're a little bit more conscious than we are when it comes to that type of thing with the cycles of life and death. And if we realize that it's an adventure, that's how I look at it. It's a great adventure. It's another big adventure that we're going to be heading towards one way or another, because everyone's bill comes due, and when that happens, we take a step into another dimension. It's fascinating to me.
Yet some people, based on just the realms that I saw in your book, mm-hmm. some people wouldn't want to go there.
Absolutely. That's why in the book I talk about how your thoughts and how your intentions and your spiritual ideals are essential so that you're not vibrating to those lower vibrational entities, like, for example, in the dark realm. You don't want anything to do with those energies. So therefore, keep your spirituality and your energies on high vibration. They're not interested in you. They don't want a high vibrational energy. They want to get these people that are either egotistical or not egotistical enough to control and to manipulate. I always say that if you're going to look at demon-possessed people, well, you got to look in the pulpits and all other places. It's not what you think. It's not always going to be something like in the movies.
Well, what do you think of the devil, Darren?
I think it's an archetype. I think the devil is an archetypal symbol of rebellion. I think it's a symbol of everything that is not light, everything that is not Christ consciousness, if you want to say that, everything that is not of purity and integrity, everything that is imbalanced, everything that is chaos, is Satan. So it's an archetypal force, and if we decide that we want to vibrate to that archetypal force, then we begin to attract those kind of energies into our life. So that's why the spiritual journey and the spiritual aspect of your life is so important. I don't care what you call God, just as long as you connect to something that is giving you a strong ideal in life and inspiration in your life, then you... The dark realm doesn't even mess with you.
Okay, you ready for some calls? The final calls? Let's go to Scott in Portland, Oregon, west of the Rockies. Hey, Scotty, go ahead.
Hey there, Mr. Norrie, Mr. Darren. How are you this evening?
Good.
I'm doing really good. I love Portland.
Excellent. Oh, it's great. Yeah, great weather this time of year, too.
Absolutely.
Say, listen, I have, like, so many things that I've been involved with the supernatural world. I'm going to have to email you, but a couple of them possibly I can get your interpretation or explanation on the air tonight would be wonderful.
Okay.
Sure.
I'll try to make it as brief as I can, because I know we don't want to take up too much time. When I was 3 years old, I was hit in the face with a baseball bat and nearly died. I had a near-death experience, and I went into another realm that was completely and utterly bright white. And I heard a couple of voices that sounded like regular men, and they told me, they said, well, Scott, you have a decision to make. You can go back down to Earth and try to be as much help as you can to your family members, because just about all of them are going to have major struggles in their life. And he showed me this screen that had different point in times in my family's life where they were struggling, whether it was with alcoholism or spiritual. And one of the other gentlemen said, you know, you have a choice. You can stay here or you can go down there. I think it's too difficult. You shouldn't go down. And I felt that I loved them so that I wanted to go back to Earth. I chose to come back to Earth to help them, and that's what I've been doing with my life. I've been my entire life. I'm the youngest sibling. I've been helping them. And so I was just wondering why I could remember part of that near-death experience and not the whole thing. I've been wondering if I was meant to remember that.
Well, let me say this first. When you came back, and over time, did you begin to realize that you weren't as afraid of life anymore?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because
it's a matter of fact. It's funny you should say that, because I've seen a ghost. I've got a really boring ghost story that I won't tell you. But it's just so matter of fact, like you were saying, there's no reason to be afraid. They're so much a part of each other.
Well, what happened is that when you had your out-of-body, you were slammed out of your body. And luckily, you went right into the spiritual realm. And in the spiritual realm, we have what's called sanctuaries. This is the work that I found, again, in my own work, my psychic impressions. And sanctuary is where souls go, whether they're having an out-of-body experience or they've crossed over fully at death. And sanctuary is a place where you actually see reviews of your life, or you see something that you need to see in order for you to understand why your life is so important. That is the area that we call sanctuary, and that's within the spiritual realms. So that's where you literally went, and they basically gave you a choice. You have free will choice. We always do. And you chose to come back, and when you came back, you became a stronger soul individual in this life. Because if you would not have had this experience, it would have been extremely tough on you. Because at that point, you were like you were just a battering ram. Emotionally and mentally, you really had no stability even at that young age, because you didn't have it in your family. I don't mean to get personal, but you didn't have it in your family unit at that point. And when you came back into your body, you began to realize that you were being taken care of, even if you weren't getting that in your physical existence at that point.
Darren, is every spirit basically asked if you want to go back or stay?
Yeah, if you go into the supernatural realm and it's not really your time to go, yeah, absolutely. They'll say, do you want to stay or do you want to go?
But they don't force you back.
No. No. Not in my research. They don't force you back. It's always been a choice. And most people choose to come back. And that's the work that I have found. I haven't seen as far as other people's work or really know that. I can only go with what I have found in my personal work with some of these stories and cases that I've had or experienced myself. There's always free will choice.
Let's go to Ann in Iron Mountain, Michigan, east of the Rockies. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just have two questions. One, what does a person do to restore their energy field? Let's say you're undergoing a psychic attack from a black magician, and you're just too weak, and you can't get your energy field or your energy up enough to seem to be able to combat this black magician that will not leave you alone. What can a person do to restore their energy field? And then also, are you affiliated with ARE, and can a person contact you through them? I don't have a computer, but I am familiar. I do have contact with ARE.
Yes, you can contact ARE. They will put you in touch with me with no problem.
Good.
And to answer your first question, number one, I'm going to catch you on your thoughts.
Okay.
I'm too weak. Automatically, to be a victim.
So not when you don't sleep ever.
Well, okay. So therefore, whoever is doing psychic attack towards you is really having a manipulation with you, because you're sort of allowing it. Your first thought was, I'm too weak. So number one, you have to realize you're way more powerful than that. And that's going to take some exercise on your part, through meditation, through prayer especially. I love the Lord's Prayer. I don't know if you're Christian. It really doesn't matter if you're Christian or not. But it's a very powerful invocation, and it really helps to build up the spiritual energy in your body. I would suggest you using the Lord's Prayer on a daily basis to kind of reconnect you with that strength of your spirituality, and start catching your thoughts and going, I am not weak. I am not weak. Nobody can interfere with me. I'm a child of God. Nobody can interfere with me or manipulate my energy. Nobody. So that's something you can do mentally. I would also suggest that you take a couple of spiritual baths every week. Fill up your bath water, throw about 3 or 4 pinches of salt in there, and soak head to toe for 20 minutes. That will start the process of helping you to clear your own spiritual energy and your auric energy while you do the work on your thoughts. Right there is where to start. Very simple techniques, but they're very powerful techniques. And then you're showing yourself, you're putting the intent out there to keep yourself protected. That right there transforms so many things, just the simple intent of remembering who you are and how powerful you are.
All right, let's go to Paul. Paul is truck driving in Texas. Hey, Paul, go ahead.
How you doing there, George?
Hey, Paul.
I got a few questions, a couple questions. About a year and a half ago, I've been having these dreams. I'm in a room with about six or seven tall people that have red hair, red beards. They keep telling me they're in charge. They have a plan for me. Well, that's kind of weird. I'm not real religious. I'm over 50. Never had anything to do with anything. I went to two priests, and they said, your energy is spoken for, and they couldn't help me. I don't know if they just told me my energy is spoken for. So.
Well, just because you think you're not spiritual or you're not really involved in anything like that doesn't mean that spiritual guys won't work with you. As a matter of fact, they actually like working with people that don't have a lot of distractions thinking they know everything. So you're actually one of those individuals I think that guys would really love working with because there's not a lot of distractions with you. And I would always suggest with something like that in a dream, in somebody wanting to work with you, always test the spirits. I'm very big on discernment in this work. For me, I always ask the spirits from, you know, who are you from? Where are you coming from? Who is your source? Where is your source? Start asking questions to them. That's the thing. If it's a spirit that's not really in integrity with you, you start asking a bunch of questions, they get a little nervous.
In your opinion, Darren, what percent do you think the other side exists?
What percent?
Yeah, 90%, 100%?
Oh,
what?
I would say 110%.
You would?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but we talked earlier that, you know, you could be wrong.
Absolutely. But for me in my life and what I believe, so it would be 110%.
Let's give it 95% in case you're wrong.
Yeah, there you go. Give me some breathing room there.
That's right, exactly.
But see, again, every reality is as we individually have. Reality is whatever we project out there. So my reality of the other side that I'm comfortable with and for me is a truth would be, yes, there's another side. But if we look at it globally, it's like, but we're going to find out a lot more when we get there. So we really can't fill in all the details. And what fun is that anyway? It would leave out the mystery.
Robin is in Indianapolis, Indiana. First-time caller for us. Go ahead, Robin.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my phone call.
Sure.
My question is, I just recently, and starting next week, I have someone actually starting to look for my biological mother.
Okay.
And my parents now, just a year ago, my father passed away, and 9 years ago, my mom passed away today. So I forgot that I was actually adopted. I'm very content with, you know, I was 3 days old. But now that I'm getting older, like the only time I ever like had a connection with this person was always like on my birthday. And I could feel her and feel something that I never felt like all year long. And so now the last couple weeks, starting this week, this next week, we're starting the search to find her. And I just like have this overwhelming feeling of like, am I doing the right thing or am I not? I don't know what the feeling is. So I'm confused.
Yeah, well, what you're feeling is that sense of anticipation. And again, we come back to the word mystery. You're not really sure exactly what's going to happen from this. But trust me, you're the type of person that if you truly did not want to do it, you would have never gone this far. Because you are hard-headed.
Huh.
So, therefore, you would not have gone this far. Keep going. Keep
All
going.
All right, Robin. Good advice for you. Let's take a few more calls here. Daniel is in Oxford, North Carolina. Daniel, thank you. Go ahead.
Hey, how's everybody doing tonight?
Hey, Daniel.
I'm really enjoying the show, George. I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
A friend of mine got me listening a few months ago, and there hasn't been a night I haven't met up to.
Now that's a real friend.
That is.
I was wondering about the nature spirits, and if they kind of stuck with the family. I've got a little bit of a backstory on this. My great-grandfather was a tobacco farmer, and my parents moved in right beside him. Before I was born, my great-grandfather actually died 4 years to the day before I was born. But he had what my family calls the gift. My dad would walk next door and say, I've got a problem with moles. do you have any traps? And he said, what do you need a trap for? And he walk out in the backyard, look at the ground, stick his fingers in and pull out a mole.
No.
Yeah. Huh. Just a kind of a gift of gab type thing.
Yeah.
But my mother and I both can walk out into the yard and pick out four-leaf clover out of nowhere. Just look down and find one. And when my grandfather died, the night just before I found out he passed, I was driving on the road and I saw a white deer. And I knew at that moment that it had happened or it was about to happen. And I was just wondering if this was something that followed a family.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, there are stories from folklore stories from Europe that I've read myself and done some research on that ancestors have actually worked with nature spirits, and the nature spirits had formed relationships with the family members on down the line. And the aspect of working with nature, and if you have a kinship with the nature spirit world and they decide to be loyal to you because you're working with them, that's absolutely the results that happens when you're connected to the realm like that. It's almost like the St. Francis archetype begins to happen. Animals begin to be attracted to you. You begin to be connected to weather changes. You begin to go, like you said, walking out and picking up a mole because this is as connected as you are to it. It absolutely is connected with family energies. Absolutely. And that's why certain psychic gifts can be passed down from member to member to member. So this is in the same vein as that. Yeah.
It sure is. Darren, we are out of time, but good luck with your work, Mysteries of the Supernatural. It sounds like you have a passion for this, don't you?
I love it. It's my life. It's my work. It always has been.
It's in your blood. Thank you again. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasour, Timothy Banal, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, George Knapp, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everybody.